my speakers. Mr. Davis.
Good evening. Wow, you guys are excited tonight, I can tell.
Good evening.
It's getting close to the bewitching time, I guess. Welcome to our board meeting here in October. We're going to start our meeting tonight with our prayer and pledge. Ms. Rowletter, would you lead us in our prayer and pledge?
Kofi Annan, who was a former Secretary of the United Nations, once made this statement: "There is no trust more sacred than the one the world holds with children. There is no duty more important than ensuring that their rights are respected, that their welfare is protected, and that their lives are free from fear and want, and that they grow up in peace." Join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for Greenville Schools, its employees, and especially its children. Thank you for the successful beginning of this school year. As leaders in this district, we now invoke your wisdom to ensure that our decisions tonight will both protect and respect the lives of our county's children. Amen. Join me in a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rowletter. I'd like to give thanks to Ms. Bush for the beautiful flowers that we have on the dais, as usual. Very reflective of the season, so thank you for those. I noticed we have a lot of students in the crowd, and Ms. Leventis Wells was not here to make the round, so let's see. Who's from Furman?
Wow.
Well, welcome. Is there anyone here from somewhere other than Furman tonight? Do we have a... Oh, we've got... Where are you guys from? Awesome. Go Tigers.
We're
SCC and
upstate.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming. We hope you.
Columbia College.
There's only one of those in the
just you, Mr. Baxter.
None of your fellow alumni here.
We will do our best to do our business quickly and efficiently since you guys have joined us tonight. The second item on our agenda for tonight is the adoption of the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion to adopt this consent calendar, duly seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting the consent calendar, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Moving on to appearance of visitors, there are no visitors tonight that have asked to sign up and speak. So we'll move on to item number four, which is the superintendent's report. Mr. Royster, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Wells. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's always a privilege to present the superintendent's report, but particularly so tonight. In fact, I changed the report that I was going to present to you due to some information we received over the weekend, of which you all are already aware, but we want to celebrate that a little bit tonight, because it is not often that the district receives an international award. As you all know, over the weekend, the Council of Education Facility Planners International awarded their McConnell Award for Innovative School Design. The Council of Education Facility Planners International is a somewhat unique group. The membership in that group includes school district construction persons, school district planners, owners representatives from the school district side, architects, engineers, construction companies and construction executives, and suppliers of any and everything that you could think of that goes into a school facility. It's all those disciplines and all those various facets of school planning, design, and construction. And there are literally members of that organization from throughout the world. And each year they present a design award, and it is an extremely competitive competition. In fact, no other design has ever won from South Carolina, And we believe only one other design has ever won from the southeastern region of the United States. Other winners have come from throughout the United States and from Australia. We were afforded or accorded this award for the design, the planning, design, and construction of Finnessy J. Fisher Middle School, of which we're extremely proud. As you all know, we employed a little bit different model, one which we are using from that point forward in the design of schools, and that is the planning of the framework of the program of the school, and then the engagement of design services to follow that program. In fact, the initial concept meeting for Finnessy J. Fisher involved a group of personnel from our school district, from all aspects of the district, including facilities, construction, planning, demographics, academics, the whole spectrum, met with a group at Clemson, headed by the Dean of the Education Department, with representatives from science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, before we ever engage an architectural firm and begin the framework of the program. Subsequent to that, a district planning team was convened that again comprised people from all of those various aspects of the district. At a point in that process, we engaged McMillan Pasden Smith as the architects for the project, and the design continued to move forward. But all of it based on that initial academic framework, that programmatic framework, the program which drove the actual design of the facility. As the time drew more close to the beginning of the opening of school, Jane Garrow came on board as a principal. We began to select other personnel for the school. They continued to flesh out that original framework that went back to April of 2011. And as a result of all those individuals working together, those individuals from the district, from the school, from McMillan, Pasden, Smith, from the contractor, Harper, all those people operating off the same page, following that initial framework for design, we ended up, represented by this very nice crystal trophy here, with an international award-winning design. I'm going to show you a little video clip that's part of the presentation that resulted in the award from CEFPI.
Oh, no.
Hopefully it's not a major error.
The very proud principal here at Dr. Finnessy J. Fisher Middle School.
As part of the James D. McConnell Award process, Dr. Finnessy J. Fisher Middle School assembled an expert panel featuring Principal Jane Garrow, Associate Superintendent Dr. D.D. Washington, two students, two teachers, a parent, and representatives from McMillan Pasden Smith to host a 30-minute presentation with the judges from CEFPI, the Council of Educational Facility Planners International. The panel shared insight ranging from the planning process and curriculum development to the students' and teachers' perspective on how they use the facility to enhance educational opportunities.
So Fisher started as just a dream. In a very detailed and thorough planning process, we knew right away that we wanted to entrench everything we did in project-based and problem-based learning. So we started with STEM. And very quickly, we realized that we had a missing letter, that we needed to emphasize the arts. STEM became STEAM.
From the beginning of the process, it really was a team effort. We had educators, administrators, planners, architects, and even facility directors all working together to build a building and design a building that lived up to the vision of STEAM, which really revolved around transdisciplinary learning, problem solving, discovery, and engaging learning. So this led us to move STEAM out of the lab and to think of the whole school as an environment for innovation and creativity.
One of my favorite places to learn in the building would be the science classrooms. The science classrooms are just terrific because they're usually bigger classes, but you don't feel like it's a big class because of your space.
If I have a project where I want my students to spread out and to work on different things at different times, maybe have stations, I can open up my garage door and have my students in the commons area. I can have some in the student collaboration room. I can have some in the classroom. And at the same time, I can still see all of them and see exactly what they're doing and monitor them and just enrich their learning that way.
If they've just thought of a great idea spontaneously in class, we can send them to the collaboration room. And what you see with about 3 to 4 to 5 students is the ability for leaders to emerge. So I'm a really big fan of the student collaboration rooms.
I would say my favorite learning space here at Fisher is definitely the courtyard because of the different things we get to do there. For example, in broadcast journalism, we can get some more interesting shots and spots for interviews outside so that the students aren't like bored watching our newscast because we'll have more interesting views and perspectives on our school. Or if you're in chorus, you'll be singing in our outdoor amphitheater.
One of the wonderful things that I like about Fisher is the working case study as it relates to the relationship between public school district, university, and the corporate community. These partnerships have exposed the students to real problems and projects and have helped them discover their confidence and knowledge needed to succeed in the world.
Congratulations to Dr. Finnessy J. Fisher Middle School, winner of the 2015 James D. McConnell Award.
What you see there reflects what we believe is our path forward as we continue to design and construct new schools. And it also, I think, is a great example of public, private, business, community partnerships coming together to create the kind of learning environment that will help to make our students college and career ready. There were an awful lot of people involved in that process. I'm not going to attempt to name all of them because I would, I'm sure, leave someone out. I do want to acknowledge and recognize Ron Smith, who's here from McMillan, Paston, Smith. And I want to ask everybody in this room, it had a part in this planning, design, or construction to stand up. And I'd also like to ask if you had a part in this, if you'll not only stand up, if you'll come up here to the front. And I'd like to ask our board, without whose support and whose vote to fund this project and approve this project, this award wouldn't be possible. I'd like for all of those folks to come down here at the front and let's get a picture with everybody involved with the award.
Where are we going?
I like the first design.
That's what I was thinking. Why don't we all stay up on the board? It'll be easier, I think.
They'll be able, I think, to get everybody.
Glenn, maybe you'll need some. Glenn, come back up here. That way it's not as crowded in. Guys, that thing weighs 15 pounds. Don't drop it. Hey, Roger. Roger, you ought to hold it. That's a reason behind it.
I know.
The same Valentine's Day.
All right, can you get us all over here?
First brought this design. Well, it was. It's somewhere. All right.
Mr. Royster, is that it?
I'm talking about the design of it.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. That was great for you to take an opportunity in the meeting to again recognize that award. I think when you have a team that's willing to invest the time and the energy that it took to create that very unique program, it's an example of the kind of things that happen to move education forward, because you can't get to innovation without a lot of hard work. So we're appreciative of the hard work, both by our staff and by the professionals that worked on the team. So we're going to move on now to our action items. Our first action item is 5.01, Innovative Courses. We have a recommended motion from the Committee of the Whole to approve the local board courses as presented. Since it's coming from committee, it does not need a second. Are there any comments or any discussion? Dr. O'Connor.
No.
I would like to ask
if, I guess, Mr. McCoy might be able to answer this, or Mr. Royster, whomever, from the presentation the other day. It's my understanding that many of these courses have been brought to the board in some fashion in the past, and then maybe iterations of those courses that wouldn't have come back because they were not substantively different. And that would account for a lot of the, you know, most of the courses, let's say, that are high school courses in the mix. And then the others would be middle school courses that were not required to be brought before the board. If those two statements are correct, then my question would be, are there any courses remaining that have not gone through the typical process of approval through the academic teams or the board? And if so, maybe we could just hold out that small number and ask that that be postponed until we could look at it at the next Cal. And the reason is, as I made the point at this past Cal, just to vote on a lot of courses as though the board has endorsed them, even though we haven't fully seen all of those. At the time, I was concerned that there'd be a lot more in that category than I think there actually are. So I'd like to be able to go ahead and vote in favor of this, with the caveat that if there are those that have not been through that process, that we could still take them through it if it's a really small number.
I think it would be difficult for us to assure you, number one, that there's a small number. Secondly, part of the problem is prior to 2005, we really don't have any way of establishing, other than hand-searching written minutes or listening to the actual recording of board meetings, whether or not they went through the process. The reason we included as many as we did, as you noted, we did believe a significant number of them are simply iterations of existing courses. Some of them are courses that once were approved by the state but are no longer state approved, and at their direction they need to go through our process and need to be approved by our local board. But this is, as we noted earlier, a problem that apparently originated in 1999 and occurred between 1999 and 2012. And we believe the way in which we've presented it is the most efficient and effective manner to present it. It is, as we said to you at the Committee of the Whole meeting, it is not the way we would ordinarily do it. It's not the way that we will do it going forward. But we believe we've presented it in the way that most effectively and efficiently corrects the problem that we have been made aware of and been made aware of through the accreditation process of the State Department's desk audit, that we need to get corrected before we move forward, because we don't want to go into another year with any of those deficiencies hanging over us. So, I certainly apologize that it didn't happen in the way we would like for it to have happened 12, 13, 14 years ago, but we are where we are. We believe we've done it in the way, while I understand that's not perhaps the way you would have preferred it be done, that we believe we've done it in the way that best manages and deals with the problem that we're faced with.
Okay. And, of course, you've set the bar for how I would like to have the information brought as the next item will show.
Absolutely.
But there are some in there that, you know, like academic team and different, or color guard or the leisure sports, some of the things that within the PE arena where they have maybe honors levels and different things like that, that I just wish there was a chance to ask, you know, have these gone through that same rigorous process that involves going to the academic team for their making a clear presentation of what the academic rigor is and at each level for different weights to be assigned to it? And if not, could we still let that happen, even though we would not be hindering anybody who's currently in one of those classes, but maybe to make sure that it goes through that process before we award permission for those to go forward next year?
Maybe I didn't understand correctly what you're saying, but I'm not aware of having any locally approved honors courses. Jeff?
There is some honors level course in the all the local board approved courses, yes.
Earlier courses?
Yes, sir.
And do you have example? Can you give some examples of those? And you may not have that with you, I don't know.
May I ask, are there any new courses that they might be aware of
The only new course is we would present them in the manner we presented the fine arts course. We have presented consistently since 2012 in the manner we presented the fine arts course. So anything in there, whatever level it might have been, was before 2012, because we know what process we've followed since 2012.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, again, the recommended motion from the Committee of the Whole is to approve the local board courses as presented. All in favor of the motion?
Madam Chairman, can I request a roll call vote?
Yes, sir. Ms. Bachman?
Mr. Baxter?
Yes.
Mrs. Bush?
Yes.
Mrs. Grayson?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Meek?
Yes.
Mrs. Morrison Fair?
Yes.
Dr. O'Connor?
No.
Mrs. Redletter?
Yes.
Mr. Sailors?
Yes.
Mr. Sada?
Yes.
Mrs. Wells?
No.
10 yes, 2 no.
Okay. So the motion passes. Moving on to item 5.02, Fine Arts Center Textile Program. Again, we have a recommended motion coming from the Committee of the Whole to approve the Fine Arts Center Fiber Arts Innovative Courses as presented. Coming from committee, doesn't need a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. 5.03, waiver request to State Department of Education. The recommended motion from the Committee of the Whole is to approve three waiver requests to the State Department of Education. Coming from the Committee of the Whole, doesn't require a second. Is there any discussion or any comments on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 5.04, South Carolina School Board Association Delegates. The recommended motion coming from the Committee of the Whole is to designate all attendees to the South Carolina School Board Association Delegate Assembly Conference as voting delegates and alternates. Coming from the committee, it doesn't require a second. During discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 5.05, sale of Baker's Chapel Elementary.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Rowletter.
I move to approve the sale of the old Baker's Chapel Elementary School.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Of a motion and a second. Is there any discussion or questions on the motion? Mr. Meek.
Madam Chairman, do we need to put an amount in the motion? I think we do.
I think we, do we, Mr. Webb, do we state the amount and the per, the?
Once it's voted upon and passed, if it is right. Passed.
After it's passed.
After it's
not
passed.
Not before.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none, the recommended motion on the floor is to approve the sale of the Old Bakers Chapel Elementary School. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. The property will be sold to Vinyl Properties for $280,900. For the record. Item 5.06, student discipline appeal. We have a recommended motion from the administration. Is there a maker?
Madam Chair.
But you should do it before.
Ms. Grayson.
I move to affirm the decision of the hearing officer to expel one student from Woodmont High School based upon substantial evidence in the record.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That concludes our action items. Moving on to Section 6, Item 6.01, Internal Auditing Service Project Status Report. Mr. Barber.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We're presenting our monthly status report on audit projects that we're currently working on, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Barber on his audit report? Wow. Sorry, Mr. Barber.
It's just a status report.
That's right. All right, all right. Hearing none, we're going to move on then to Section 7, Committee and Liaison Reports. Are there any committee or liaison reports this evening?
Madam Chairman, the Advocacy Committee did meet. We don't have anything further to bring to the board tonight, except remember tomorrow morning we have a meeting at the Fine Arts Center with the legislative delegation. 9 o'clock, if you'd wish to attend.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Meek. Dr. O'Connor.
Yes, the committee to revise and update the instructional policies of the district met and decided that it was going to be a big scope of work, and the first thing to do would be just to identify the policies that needed immediate attention because they are currently relevant to what we're doing academically or instructionally. Others that need to be addressed, but there's no particular hurry to do so, and others that were so far outdated and seemingly irrelevant that we can recommend to discontinue those policies. So a subgroup of us got together after the first meeting and put those into categories. Ms. Rowletter and others who were not able to attend, but it was meant to be sort of a subcommittee work to save time for the other members. All the members now will receive the categories that we have suggested for each of the policies. And once everyone on the committee has had a chance to provide input, we will get that back to the full board so that you will know exactly what the strategy is going forward.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chairman.
Mr. Meek.
If I could request that the chairman, in her statement to the board or whatever, put their rationale behind why we want to do away with a certain policy or whatever. I'm kind of hesitant to vote to do away with the policy if I don't know the rationale behind it. And
yes.
Sure, we don't need it anymore. She can do that.
Absolutely. And Dr. Burns-Dillard is doing an excellent job helping to make sure that we do the proper research and address that before it even comes to the rest of the committee. So when it comes before all of you, you will see a justification along with the policy about why we're recommending that it is no longer relevant. And they're pretty obvious. If they're not obvious, we're putting them in the category of let's keep looking at it, but a little bit later, or someone else to just verify that these are in compliance with current law. But yes, you will see those, and it will become obvious that some of those back from the 1980s were just not relevant to our current work. Thank you.
Dr. O'Connor, is it the intention of the committee for those recommendations to come, since they're policy changes, to the committee of the whole?
Yes.
First?
They will. The one decision that I cannot say, because the committee has not discussed it yet, is how we would like to bring the information forward. But absolutely, there will not be any changes to any of these policies without the full vote of the board. It's just that some of this early work may not require that. But we will not make any such decisions without everyone seeing it and having a full time to discuss it and understand it.
Yeah, great. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other committee liaison reports? All right, hearing none, we're going to move on to Section 8. Item 8.01, the finance report. Mr. Royster.
Mr. Knott stands ready to answer any question you might have.
Mr. Meek.
Thank you. Where we all know it's that time of the year where the taxes are not coming in as regular, maybe Mr. Knott should give us a little briefing on where the tax revenue's at and where our fund balance and how that's being affected or will be affected soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As a timeline, our unassigned fund balance at end of August 2015 was $89.5 million. And a month later, end of September, the amount has dropped to $66 million. So this is a time of the year where we get little revenue coming in to offset our expenses. So that's why it's important to have a fund balance sufficient during this time frame to meet our cash flows. Because we don't really start receiving our property tax revenue until the December, January, and February time frame. So we'll monitor it over the next month to make sure we meet board policy and also make sure we meet all payroll and accounts payable demands.
And Mr. Knotts, could you remind the board what the board policy is? You can do it.
Board policy states if we use half of the board approved fund balance, which is 8.33% of the current general fund budget, we have to inform the board. We also have to replenish it within, I believe, 60 days.
So that means if you use down to whatever 8.33%, 30-some million dollars?
It had to be down to about $21 million.
Then you would inform the board and you have 60 days to replenish that fund?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Everybody understand that? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meek, for your questions and commentary. Are there any other questions for Mr. Knotts? All right. Hearing none, that brings us to the end of our agenda.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Sailors.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
A motion, duly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you for all my emails for responding.